Hi, and welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Thank you.
Hi there, welcome to Film Forums. My name is Aisha Bailey and I have with me a special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself for me?
Yes, hello. My name is Emma Needell. I'm a screenwriter and director. My latest flex, or the most exciting thing going on right now, is that my original screenplay, The Waterman, which was made into a film, is having its world premiere nationwide in the United States in theaters on May 7th and will be available internationally on Netflix.
Fantastic. Okay. So is this your first big project that's gotten, like, you know, Netflix distribution and things like that? Yeah.
Yes. It's my first good project, I also want to say. I think as a screenwriter, you have to go through some growing pains of writing stuff that isn't very good in order to learn the craft and to kind of discover your voice. But this is the first big one for sure.
Fantastic. Okay. So how did you go about getting your script made into a film that would then, you know, become something that Netflix wanted? What was that process?
It's always tricky to get an original idea made, right? Especially if you're someone like I was, who didn't have any formal connections to Hollywood and kind of came to LA with a hope and a dream and a backpack. And that was pretty much it. It was definitely a meandering path. So a little bit of history. I started working on the script 7.5 years ago. So it took a while. And at that point, you know, I had been out in LA for 3 years and frankly, you know, had some very serious growing pains. I was a broke college grad. I didn't know anyone. The goal was always directing. But when you're first starting out and if you don't have any money and you don't have any friends, it's really hard to direct. But writing you can do for free and by yourself. And so that's something I fell into as I was, you know, navigating different random jobs I could find here and there. Writing was a way that I could feel empowered and creative for free and by myself. So I'd written 5 screenplays and they were all really bad. And I realized I needed some help. So after my day job as an assistant, I took evening classes at UCLA Extension, which is where I learned how to write. And it's where I learned or where I developed The Waterman. And what I specifically learned in this class, taught by another screenwriter, Steve Mazur, who wrote Liar, Liar,
Liar, Liar. I'm sorry. That is, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm going to tell him that he has a fan.
It's amazing, it's literally. Such a good movie. Yeah. I watched it so many times as a child, all the way through growing up. It's like, yeah, my favorite. Anyway, sorry, please do continue.
No, that's amazing. I am speaking with him soon, so I will definitely tell him he has a fan out there. That's awesome. But yeah, so he taught me this idea of the premise. And the premise is the North Star or the thematic argument that you're making through film. What is the idea that inspires you? And for The Waterman, the idea, you know, there was something I really wanted to communicate with the world. And that's this idea that hope is the strongest form of bravery. Wrote this script and it placed pretty highly in the Nichols Fellowship, which is an open screenwriting competition. It was in the top 100. That got me a manager. And they started sending out the script to different executives around Hollywood. And it happened to end up, I mean, just, you know, kismet in action. It happened to end up in David Oyelowo's inbox. And he was looking to work with Oprah on a family film. And David specifically wanted to do, you know, a film that kind of harkens back to like The Goonies or Stand By Me or these like adventure films that were fun and full of adventure, but that also dealt with some really, you know, real themes, some fundamental questions about humanity and the human experience and life. And he read Waterman and wanted to meet, which is still insane. I still get starstruck. But what I will say to wrap this up, the reason why I ultimately wanted to work with David, and I had a few different offers on the table from an independent financier and a studio with a big director attached. But for me, you know, I was finally, for the first time in my life, in a position to choose. And I think it's really important too for aspiring screenwriters and directors out there when you are put in a position to choose, and it's not all the time, but for me, I really wanted to define what success meant like. Was success money? Was success, you know, the kind of hype of the studio and a director? But what I landed on was success was finding someone who was passionate about the project and who understood the idea. In that first meeting with David Oyelowo and Harpo, Oprah's production company, David had unparalleled passion for the project and understood this idea of hope and how important it is even more than I did, and had a lot to say about it. And I realized, you know, he is someone who gets it. He's someone who cares. And there were a lot of twists and turns to the story of it getting made. It ended up at a studio, it was dropped by the studio. We had a director, we lost a director. There were so many moments when it seemed like the script wasn't going to get made, which is the story of a lot of scripts in Hollywood, some of the best. But David's passion for the project is what carried it through to the end.
This town is weird.
It's just different here than what we're used to.
Yeah, real different.
I know this move's been hard for you. That's been hard for your dad too. He's just stressed about me.
In terms of your inspiration, obviously you've talked quite a bit about, you know, how hope was your inspiration, hope being the greatest form of bravery. If you were to give some advice to a first-time screenwriter, other than churning out some scripts, what else would it be?
Great question. One piece of advice to all aspiring screenwriters: write what you love. I hope all of you will have to write something for money. And at that point, if someone's paying you to write something, you have to just write what they want. It's a job. But when you're writing on spec, right, on speculation, so for free, the most important thing is to write what you love and are passionate about. Write a story that you think about when you go to sleep, and the first thought you have when you wake up in the morning is about that story. Often executives are not looking for an original script to buy and to make. The nature of the game has changed a little bit. There's a lot of IP-driven content and adaptations. So what you are doing, what execs are looking for, is an original voice. And that's what makes it so important to not think about, oh, you know, what's commercial? What would executives like to see, et cetera? Write what you believe in. Have it come from you. Because often when you're hired to work on a job, what you're being hired to do is to bring your voice to the table.
Fantastic advice. Now, obviously, if someone enjoys writing scripts and writing stories and things like that, sometimes what can be difficult for them is when they need to write treatments. And
indeed,
if you know what I mean. Right? That you've probably had a similar issue maybe, because it's a bit more kind of technical writing, I guess. And it's being able to consolidate your idea and your story. What advice would you give for that? Like for how to structure it and how to make it still come to life and show what it is that you're trying to tell?
Oh, that is such a good question. I feel like treatments and outlines are the bane of writers' existence a lot of the time. And treatments are very difficult to write well. There's actually one I found online. So if you Google this and write like PDF, you could probably find it too. But it was the Mr. and Mrs. Smith treatment. That one is written so well. And that's kind of my gold standard for treatments when I'm trying to write my own to make it, you know, exciting. The most important thing, however, and I think treatments are especially important when you're working on it, you're getting paid to write something. It's really important to be on the same page with the producers and the executives and potentially the director ahead of time. And a treatment allows everybody to see what it is and to, at a high level, 30,000 foot view level, agree on it. I think that's really important. I've definitely had some experiences where we didn't have a solid treatment, And it was like, okay, just go off and write it. And everyone had different ideas in their head of what it was supposed to be. In terms of making it dynamic, such a challenge of screenwriting, even in, you know, the actual script format, is getting across tone, right? Tone of a movie is the pacing. It's the cinematography. It's the acting. So everything that a script isn't, right? And so a huge challenge in writing anyway is getting tone across. So hard to do. In a treatment, it's even harder. Again, I highly recommend the Mr. and Mrs. Smith treatment. And I found it just by Googling. That does a really good job of setting up tone. But often what you want to do for a treatment is be as broad as possible. Don't get into any specifics. Don't get into plot details. Get into what it means. Get into the theme. Get into, you know, the character terms that kind of change how the characters will react. Don't get into, you know, this is an action scene where X, Y, and Z will happen. Keep it more into how the characters are feeling and processing the plot. That's my big advice.
That's really good advice as well, actually. And I haven't heard it said like that before, so that's really useful. I wrote my first baby script in lockdown. I'm an actor, but I decided to write something just, you know, because I was locked up.
Yeah, totally.
In the UK, we had a pretty strict lockdown for pretty much a year. So I had to go at it. But the weirdest thing for me was like the script format. And then, you know, another thing was like log lines as well. So then again, being able to sum up your story in like one sentence was, or me at the most, yeah, you know. And I just thought, oh my goodness, how do I do that? You know, have you submitted to film festivals? Because I know for film festivals, for example, you do need to have your log line and everything ready to go if you're submitting a script. What was your experience of that?
Oh yeah, I can't even tell you how many dollars I've spent on film festival submission fees and script competition fees. Money I'll never see again. So funny though, I think about the logline thing really quick. I think writing is rewriting, and I'm sure you've experienced that a lot in your journey this year to write. Your first draft is always terrible. It's just like, sometimes I've heard it called a vomit draft, which I agree. You're just like trying to get ideas out. And I think it's really important when you're feeling inspired, because sometimes having to step back and write a treatment is so dry and it's the opposite of inspiration. And you just want to get in there and write the scenes because you feel them. That's really important to do. And I think when inspiration hits, you need to do it. But so much of writing is rewriting. And that includes the log line.
The note I saw in this book says that he's immortal. I need to know more about it.
Got any money?
Yes, but I'm still going to need money to buy supplies.
Supplies for what?
I'm going to find the Waterman.
Come into my office.
Every time I write a log line, I swear, I then like spend days reworking it. So I'm like, that's not it at all. It's boring. It's way too long. You know, it's not even about what the story is. So every step of the process is about rewriting. And then in terms of festival submissions, so I think they're a bit of a crapshoot. I don't want to sound bitter because I never won one. So it's not bitterness. It's part of the game. And everyone who wins, it's awesome. But this is such an opinion-driven industry, right? And like what one judge may find brilliant, another may find boring. That's just the nature of the game. What I will say is really, really helpful. This isn't true for films as much, but for screenwriting competitions. Some of the judges will offer, or some of the competitions, you can pay an extra fee for feedback. And you can get the judge's notes and, you know, get a thick skin because it's going to hurt your feelings. But it's important to see like honest, objective feedback. And that was so helpful to developing Waterman.
So did you use some of that feedback for rewriting? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of script writing competitions out there, you know, and some of them are quite costly. But if you're getting genuine feedback, then I would say it is worth it, you know.
Yeah,
if you think how much you pay to go to university to study, you know, writing or screenwriting or whatever, it, you know, probably is more reasonable, you know, overall.
100%. Yeah.
Would you have any other advice for someone who is going down the screenwriting path? For example, in terms of writing for specific budgets, did you ever have that in mind? I take it that you did when you were writing your stories. Roughly what kind of budget would be required, and whether or not that would affect whether or not it was produced?
That is a great question. My answer is I didn't know anything. I had directed some short films and had done them, but as a feature, I didn't understand how expensive Waterman was going to be. And I think it's it's a wise thing to do, to write in mind with a budget. That said, you know, I'm the kind of writer who likes to world build and likes to, you know, make up mythologies. That can be expensive. I think it's important for every screenwriter to have some on-set experience, whether it's a short film or, you know, writing a feature that can get made, or even just being a production assistant or set visiting. I think it's important to see how your words translate in the budget, because Waterman, I didn't think about it at all. And I think that was something that made it really difficult to get made at first. For instance, one thing I want to talk about, there was a flashback scene. There's a scene in The Waterman right now where there's an animation and it's really beautiful. It's actually my favorite part of the film, but originally it was a flashback. And our line producer was like, yeah, you're having this scene set in like 1800s mining town. That's way too expensive. There's no way. And, you know, David Oyelowo, who directed the film, and I, we kind of got together and we were like, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this? This is a really important scene. And he had the idea to turn it into an animation. And so often, you know, that's also an important part of screenwriting, is having collaborators who are experts in their own field, being able to tell you, hey, this is too expensive. And as a creative, it's in your power to pivot and come up with a solution that makes the film, that allows the film to still get made. So again, I think there are two different kinds of process when you're thinking about craft. You can either write to show your voice as a writer, and that you can go as big budget as you want, because maybe you're not thinking about it being made. You more want to express who you are and how you write. That can lead to other jobs. But then there's another side of the craft, which is to write for set. And with that, you need to have a mind toward what's possible from a budget perspective.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Thank you so much for your time. Honestly, you've given great advice. And if you could just remind us one more time where everybody can go and get your movie.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. So internationally, you'll be able to stream the film on Netflix in May 7th. So please check it out. And if you're in the United States, you can watch it in theaters on May 7th as well.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. Visit film-forums.com for more.